You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you. And we're concluding a series, and I trust that it's been helpful. And the series is High Noon Showdown at the Conflict Corral. Now, what I want to do is I want to remind us about conflict, because conflict is inevitable. You know that, I know that. And it's something that many of us, if not all of us, we try to avoid. But really what we're learning is it's something we should embrace, because conflict is an opportunity. Here's what we're learning, and it's this. Conflict, our constant opportunity. The reason why it's a constant opportunity is because we're constantly in one form or another experiencing conflict. Because there's something that you want, and there's something that you're not experiencing. And so what happens is it creates conflict, which means we have a constant opportunity to do three things: to honor God, to serve others, and to grow ourselves. Now, here's the question as we wrap up this series. If it's an opportunity, that's what we all want, right? You ever heard the guy say, "All I want is an opportunity"? And so here we have before us a constant opportunity. So if it's a constant opportunity to honor God, now if you're a Christ follower, if you know Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, then that's your purpose in life. That's my purpose in life, is to be able to honor God. So if it's a constant opportunity and it honors God, and it's an incredible way to serve other people, and we're called to serve, and it will grow us, why don't we embrace it? Let me help you with that. It's because of this right here. It's because of fear. That's the reason why we don't see it as a constant opportunity. That's why we don't see it as an opportunity to honor God or to serve others or to grow ourselves. Now, here's what we need to understand. It's not that you're afraid of conflict. It's not that I'm afraid of conflict. So the problem isn't the fear of conflict. The problem is fear of people. That's the problem. And so if you and I are going to view conflict as an opportunity to honor God, serve others, and grow ourselves, then we have to deal with this fear of conflict that ultimately shows up in people. And so how do we do that? Well, Proverbs gives you and I an opportunity to learn and grow in this area. And so here's what he says. He says, the fear of man or the fear of people brings a snare. Wow. Brings a snare. Now, the fear of people shows up in your life and in my life in many different ways. And it doesn't matter what kind of personality you have. It's in all of us. And what I want to do is I want to show us how you and I can be free from that. Because he says here that the fear of man or the fear of people brings a snare. The word snare there means a trap. And when this was written many, many, many years ago, the people understood that, because a snare was a trap in which you would catch and kill an animal. And basically what he is saying is the fear of people is a trap. It'll catch you. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. And so what does that mean for you and I in a practical way today? It's this right here. The fear of man is a morbid concern about what other people may think about you, say about you, or do to you. That's the fear of man. And so what happens is it paralyzes us because we become very, very concerned with what others think about us or what they might say about you or me or what they might do to us. And so what happens is it paralyzes us. And it keeps you and I from embracing this opportunity to honor God, to serve others, and to grow ourselves. And so your problem, my problem, is not so much the fear of conflict, but it's the fear of people. And it shows up in many, many different ways, okay? This snare. It's the need for approval. It's the need for acceptance. It's peer pressure. It's the need to be honored. It's the need to be recognized. It's the fear of criticism. It's the fear of humiliation. And what happens is when we have this fear of people, it leads to a number of different things. It leads us to second guess ourselves. It leads us to become timid when we should be bold. It leads us to disobey God. It leads us to lack self-confidence. It leads us to judge our self-worth by what other people think or say. It leads us to be inactive. It leads us not to be ourselves. It leads us to be indecisive. It leads us to a place of being unstable. That's where it leads. That's the trap. That's the snare. And so Solomon would say it like this. He would say, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and will be what? Safe. And so that's the key. You and I can either fear people and be caught in this trap of where it destroys you, it destroys me, it paralyzes us, it keeps us from being that person that God wants us to be. It allows other people to intimidate us. It allows other people to control us. Or, you know what we can do? We can trust and put our confidence in God and there find safety. There find honor. And so, if you and I are going to handle conflict in a way that serves others and grows ourselves and ultimately honors God, we have to deal with this fear factor. And the fear factor is people. Now, it's rooted in many different things, but I think one of the main things that it's rooted in is that you and I desire the approval of people. There's something in you, there's something in me that we just desire the approval of people. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to be liked. I want to be accepted. I hate conflict. I want everybody to like me. I don't want anybody to be angry with me. I want everybody to think well of me. What am I saying? I want everybody to approve of me. And yet what we have to understand is the person that you and I ascribe the most authority to defines who we are. They define what we're worth. They define what we should do. They define how we should do it. And basically, the reason why they have that power is because we want their approval. It can be a mother, it can be a father, it can be a boss, it can be a pastor, it can be a husband, it can be a wife. And the reason for this is because I believe that God has designed you and I this way. And the reason why he's designed you and I this way is because it reveals who and what our heart loves. So let me ask you a question. Who do you desire the approval of most? Whoever you desire the approval of most, that's your functional God. That's who you have allowed to become God in your life. And so you fear them. And they control you and they define you. Because you want their approval. Now, Paul dealt with this. And so he lets us know that this can be dealt with and that you and I can be free from this. He writes this. Here's what he says. He says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Wow. What he's basically saying is that you and I cannot truly follow God with all of our heart if we're seeking the approval of man, if we fear men or people, because it'll become a snare. And so I love the way in which the message talks about it. And here's what the message has for us. He says, "The fear of human opinion," that's that approval or disapproval, "the fear of human opinion disables, it unravels us, it paralyzes us, it melts us, it destroys us. But trusting in God protects you from that." So what happens is when fear grips your heart, when fear grips my heart, if we continue down that path, what it lets me know is, Dwight, you're not trusting God. You've got somebody else out there functioning as your God. Because you'd rather have their approval than to have my approval. And why is that? Why do we struggle with that? Because we all do. Well, I think there's a number of reasons, but let me give you three of them, okay? The first one is the fear of rejection. I mean, what happens is, you know, when we get involved in conflict, and the reason why we don't see it as an opportunity is because the fact of the matter is, if we deal with this conflict, that person across the table, that person in that relationship may reject me. And maybe our life is already wounded so much that we would just say, I can't handle another rejection. And so what happens is the fear of rejection keeps you and I from having that conversation. How about this one here? The fear of uncertainty. Man, if I have this talk, if I deal with this issue, if I speak up, if I share what's really on my heart here, then I don't know where it's going to lead me. I don't know where it's going to take me. And so the fear of uncertainty, or the fear of scarcity. You know, hey, you know, the person that I'm talking to is the one who's writing my check. Or if I would say that to my husband, or if I would say that to my wife, you know, I don't know what would happen, and I might be out on the street. And so what happens is, many times the reason why we don't embrace conflict and see it as an opportunity is because the fear of people. And we fear their rejection. We fear the uncertainty because we don't know how they're going to respond. Or the fear of scarcity, that what happens is they may just write us out of the will. They may just cut us off. And so what happens is, because of the fear of rejection, uncertainty, and scarcity, we opt out for resentment. And so we resent the people in our life. And that's a killer. For you as well as them. And so what is the antidote for the fear of people? I think it's twofold. And it's not just people. It's anything. And I want to share it with you, okay? Here's the first thing. I believe the antidote to the fear of people is to develop and maintain a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear of God. Now, you might be saying, Dwight, I thought you said that we have to deal with fear. We do, the fear of people. But you're going to fear somebody. You're either going to fear people or you're going to fear God. One of the two. But you're not going to fear both. And so the antidote for you and I being able to embrace conflict as an opportunity to honor God, serve other people, and to grow ourselves is to develop a healthy fear of God. And by the way, I just want to let you know, most of us don't have a healthy fear of God. We just don't. And so what happens is we fear everybody in our life. And so what happens is one of the ways in which you can determine your fear of God is how many other fears do you have in your life that's controlling you? That's demanding something from you. Because here's what I believe. I believe that if you fear God, what happens is it lessens all the other fears in our life. Because fearing God means that we have a sense of awe. We have a sense of respect. We have a sense of reverence that He is above everyone else. And that's what we want. See, Jesus would say it like this. He would say, do not fear those who can kill the body. Who's that? That's people. But cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Wow. And so what happens is we have to develop a healthy fear of God. Because if we don't develop a healthy fear of God, what we will end up being is people pleasers. Can I tell you something about people pleasers? We're two-faced. We will say whatever needs to be said to avoid conflict in whatever conversation we're in. That means that we lie. That means that we deceive. That means that we're hypocritical. Because those tactics smack with hypocrisy and insincerity. Why? Because we want to avoid conflict. We want to create the impression that we're truthful, that we're courageous, and that we live consistently. But what happens is when people's opinions and thoughts loom larger than God's thought, it's not going to be helpful for you or for me. And so we have to come back and we have to maintain and develop a healthy fear of God. Otherwise, you'll lose your way. Otherwise, I'll lose my way. You see, what happens is when we make people bigger than God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble not only relationally, but we're in trouble in life. And when you develop and maintain a healthy fear of God, you know what you do? You make God big. You make God big. Proverbs would say it like this. Those who fear the Lord are secure. Now, you would know that a big issue in our world today is insecurity. We have all these insecurities in our life. And the reason why I believe that we have these insecurities in our life is because we don't properly fear God. Because He's telling us that if we fear God, we'll feel secure. We'll know that He is God and that people aren't. So the first thing that you and I need to do is we need to develop and maintain a healthy fear of God. Here's the second thing that we need to do. We need to embrace and experience God's love. We need to embrace and we need to experience God's love. Now, if I were to ask you today, how many of us believe that God loves us? We'd all raise our hands, no doubt. But the question is, have you embraced that love? The question is, are you experiencing that love? Has it gone from here to here? Has it made that 18-inch journey of where, you know, yeah, I know God loves me, but you know what? I'm experiencing His love. You see, John would say it like this. John would say, whoever wherever God's love is, there is no what? Fear. Because God's perfect love drives out all fear. Wow. So here's what he's saying. He is saying that if you and I will embrace God's love and experience God's love, that it'll drive out the fear in your life and in my life. Because if his love is there, then fear can't be there. Because his love will drive out all fear. And so what happens is, wherever you're experiencing fear, wherever I'm experiencing fear, whether it's in a relationship or someplace else, maybe it's in your career, then what happens is we have to invite God's love there. And we have to invite God. And you got to get God's love there. Why? Because there is no fear where God's love is. Why? Well, it says because God's perfect love drives out all fear. Not people's love, because your love and my love is inconsistent. You see, there's two characteristics about God's love. Might want to write this down. It's unconditional and it's consistent. Know anybody like that? I don't. I don't know anybody. There's nobody on planet Earth who loves me unconditionally, consistently. Nobody. I've never had a relationship with a human being who's done that for me. And by the way, okay, I've never done that for anybody. You say, do you love Patty unconditionally? I try. How consistent are you? Well, I have good days and better days. But God never has good days and better days. He's consistent. That's his perfect love. And John goes on to say this. He says, it is the thought of punishment that makes a person fearful. Or could we say it like this? It is the thought of consequences. I don't know if I have that talk. The consequence might be they will reject me. I don't know. If I have that talk, the consequence might be there'll be some uncertainty in my life. I don't know. If I would have that conversation, I don't know. The consequence might be I might not continue to receive what I've been receiving. And so John is letting you and I know, wherever God's love is, there is no fear. Because God's perfect love drives out all fear. It's the thought of consequences. It's the thought of punishment. I'm going to get punished for having this conversation that makes us fearful. And so, how do we deal with fear? We develop and maintain a healthy fear of God, and then we embrace and experience God's love on a daily basis, which begs the question, how do I learn to live in God's love? How do I learn to live in God's love? I want to help you with that, okay? Here's the first thing, okay? Every day I surrender and I submit to God. Every day I surrender and submit to God. Listen to me. Let me tell you why you don't feel God's love. You're not surrendered to him. You're not submitted to him. You'll never be able to experience and embrace God's love without taking this step. And I'll be truthful with you. Most of us don't go here. Most of us are unwilling to surrender and submit to God. That means give him control. That means put him first in our life, in every area of our life. And so we don't experience his love. Because the only way that you can experience somebody's love, their full love, is to surrender to them. Is to submit to them. Is to be vulnerable before them. And you know what? Most of us don't want to be vulnerable. So you never quite feel loved. You know why? Because in the back of your mind, you have the fear, if somebody learns this about me, they'll reject me. Y'all okay? And so the only way that you're going to experience God's love to the depth that you need to drive out his or your fear is to be able to surrender and submit to him every day. That means that when you wake up tomorrow, when I wake up tomorrow, I say, God, you know what? I just want you to know, I surrender my day to you. I surrender my life to you. I just want you to know the answer is yes. What's the question? I'm submitting to you. I love what's recorded in Job. Here's what's recorded in Job. It says, surrender your heart to God. Turn to him in prayer. Give up your sins. That's surrendering. That's submitting. I don't want to go my way. I want to go your way. Even those you do in secret. All right? You're getting vulnerable. Then you won't be ashamed. And you will be what? Confident. And fearless. Wow. How do you become confident and fearless? You surrender and submit to God. It goes on to say this, then you will rest safe and secure, filled with the hope and emptied of worry. Wow. James, the half-brother of Jesus, would put it another way. He would say this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Why? Because the devil's the one that brings fear in your life. Do you know the devil can only do two things? One is to create and speak fear into your life and then tell you lies. It's the only thing. And what James is saying, if you'll submit yourself to God, if you will put him in his rightful place and you'll resist the devil, he'll leave you. He'll leave you. And so what happens is we need to be able to surrender and submit to God every single day. Jesus put submission and surrender in this way. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you're surrendered, if you are submitted to me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so how do you know when you're surrendered and submitted to God? Let me tell you, let me just give you some fruit. Humility. Vulnerability. Patience. Contentment. Courage. Those all come. Those are all fruits that will be bore in the man or the woman who submits and surrenders to God on a regular basis. And so we need to embrace and experience God's love. How? By surrendering and submitting to him every single day. Apart from that, you'll never experience the fullness of God's love. It'll be a theory, but it won't be an experience. See, you've heard me say this over and over and over again. God knows the worst about you, and yet he still loves you. So why not surrender to him? Why not submit to him and let him fill you with his love? Here's the second thing on how you and I can live in God's love. I need to remind myself of God's love for me. I need to remind myself of God's love for me because there's so much around me that is telling me that God doesn't love me. And there's five truths. You know what? I spoke these this morning. I spoke them yesterday morning. I'll speak them again tomorrow. And you say, Dwight, you keep telling us this. Why do you go back to this? Because most of us here don't do this. You don't do it. And so I want you to experience God's love. And so what are those truths that I need to remind myself daily of so that the fear of people will not become a snare to me? Let me just give them to you quickly. One is, I'm accepted. Something that all of us want. What's the fear of people? It's because we want acceptance and approval. Well, we've already got that from God. Look what it says here. It says, Jesus made us acceptable to God. So I remind myself, God, you love me. I need to remind myself that you know the worst about me. You'll never find out something about me that you didn't know. And you still accept me because Jesus makes that possible. And that's what we long in people. That's why we're afraid of people, because we're afraid that they may learn something of us and reject us. So we're afraid of that. You see, listen, I'm not afraid that you're going to learn anything about me, because my Father in heaven already knows it. I love one of our boys, he was being interviewed. And they said, we're going to get real personal with you, and we're going to ask you some deep, deep questions. And he looked right across the table and he said, you're not going to ask me anything that my Father and I haven't already talked about. Y'all okay? Acceptance. How about this one right here? Loved. I need to remind myself every day that I'm loved. I'm loved by who? The one who knows me best. I want to live in this love, because God's love is unconditional and is consistent. You say, how do you know that you're loved? Well, look at what Scripture has to say. God showed us clearly and proves his own love for us by this, by the fact that while we were still sinners, while Dwight was at his worst, Christ died for me. And so I remind myself, God, you know, when I was at my worst, you loved me. And so if you love me at my worst, then I don't have anything to worry about. Isaiah the prophet writes this. He says, of the Lord, he says, my love for you will never end. Never end. Why? Because his love isn't fickle. How about this? I remind myself every day that I'm forgiven. That I'm forgiven. That you know what? I am free from shame and guilt, because listen, one of the reasons why we struggle with conflict is because we're afraid that that other person is going to shame us or guilt us. And I need to remind myself, you know, Dwight, you're forgiven. Shame and guilt has been dealt with in your life. Paul writes it this way. He says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So guess what? I'm forgiven. I remind myself of that every single day. How about this one? Valuable. I remind myself every day that I am valuable. Not because of what I do, but because of who I am. I am valuable. How do you know how valuable something is? Who owns it and what they pay for it? If you're a Christ follower here today, God owns you. What did he pay for you? The blood of Christ. Look what Paul writes. He says, you have been bought and paid for by Christ. Wow. And so I remind myself every day, I'm valuable. Not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm on some church staff. I'm more valuable than that. And then I remind myself I'm complete. Not because I'm married either. Okay, because of Christ. No person is going to complete me. So if no person is going to complete me, then why should I fear them? Because many of us, we fear people because they may reject us. Or scarcity. And yet the fact of the matter is, if I remind myself every day, God, I am complete in you, then that's all I need. And we're told by Paul, you are complete in him. You are complete in him. And so what happens is, what's the antidote to fear? Developing a healthy fear of God and maintaining it. What's the antidote to fear? Embracing and experiencing God's love. By what? Submitting and surrendering to him on a daily basis. Reminding myself of his love. And when we do that, what happens is, we begin to conquer fear in our life. I love what John Gordon has to say. He says, the power of fear only comes from the power we give it. The key is to understand it has no power over you, and the core of who you are is love, and love casts out fear. Now, why is this so important? Why is this so important? This now positions you and I to embrace conflict as an opportunity that honors God, serves others, and grows ourselves. Why? Because now, every day, I need to offer that love to other people. I need to offer that love to other people. What love? The love that I'm living in. The love that I've embraced. The love that I've experienced. The love of Christ. Jesus said it like this. He said, I am giving you a new command to love each other. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. But we have to embrace that love. We have to experience that love. And the way in which we do that is by surrendering and submitting to him every single day and reminding ourselves of this love. I love what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has to say. You know, it gives us the description of love. And I just kind of summarized it here for us. Love extends grace. Love embraces the truth. Love expresses faith. Love expects the best and endures the worst. Wow. And so here's what I want you to know. If you're going to see conflict as an opportunity that honors God, that serves others, and grows yourself, then you have to deal with the fear factor. And that's people. And we have to develop and maintain a healthy fear of God. And we have to embrace and experience his love on a daily basis. And then we can say what the psalmist wrote, or the Hebrew writer wrote. He said this, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Why? Because I fear God. Why? Because I am deeply, deeply loved by God. What can mere people do to me? And see, when you have that attitude, now you're in a position to serve other people. Now you're in a position to grow yourself. Now we're in a position to honor God. Blessed, happy, to be envied are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. It's the thing that distinguishes people who know God. Why? Because fear doesn't dominate us. Why? Because we fear God. Why? Because we know his love. Would you pray with me? God, today as we wrap up this series, we're going to have conflict. It's inevitable. The question is going to be whether we're going to be peacemakers. And it's the one thing that can distinguish us from the rest of the world. And the only way that we can become good at this is to deal with our fear of people. Otherwise, we get caught in this snare, this trap that kills us, that traps us, that catches us, that destroys us. We don't want that. And so I pray for myself, first and foremost, God. You know my own struggle with this. And I pray for each and every person who's listening to my voice today, that we would realize that you've given us an answer, and it is to develop and maintain a healthy fear of you, and then to embrace and experience your love every single day. And that positions us to extend that love to those who we're having conflict with, so that it honors you, serves them, and grows us. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.